Accession number 16720, Mr. Robert Wilson, Reel 1.
Mr. Wilson, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Wilson?
I was born at 31 Wayman Street, Southwick, Sunderland, on the 20th of April, 1912.
What kind of an area was it?
Mining.
Did your father work down the pits?
No.
Well, what did he do?
Oh, he was killed in Warsaw.
I was killed in the First World War?
He was killed there. 1915.
Whereabouts, you know?
Well, he died in Cambridge Hospital. I've got all that data, like, for father. Wait a minute. Oh. My mother married my father, Robert Wilson, at Wembley Beach Church at Sunderland on the 28th of the 10th. 1911. Father lived at 7 Wayman Street, and his occupation in Surrey Street was a chief steward. And father's date of birth is not known, but he was 30 years of age. I haven't got his birth certificate. He was 30 years of age when he married my mother on the 28th of October 1911. Father was a corporal in the RAMC when he died at Cambridge Hospital on the 12th of 11th, 1915, buried at Mean Old Cemetery, Sunderland.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have two brothers, actually. I have brother Leslie and brother Victor, which was a step. My mother remarried later on. Yeah, I had a brother, Leslie, who was born in 1915, so that makes him roughly 3 years younger than I was. And he was killed at Eastbourne in 1944.
And that was in the army, was it?
That was in the army, in the 62nd Anti-Tank Regiment.
Was this an accidental?
Traffic accident, yeah.
You said you had a stepbrother.
And a stepbrother. My mother remarried in 1920. Married a chap called Tommy Dodds, and he was in the Navy. And they got married in 1920, and then my mother died later on, which I can give you a date as we go further afield.
So life must have been pretty tough for your mother.
Really was.
The community that you lived in, you say it was a mining community.
Pardon?
The community you lived in was a mining community.
No, the community I lived in, funny enough, wasn't mining. I was out of the mining, you know, cottages and houses, into Fulwell, Sunderland. But it was a lovely, lovely place to live, the Burnham Road, lovely place.
What was the house like you lived in?
Well, I suppose there was a bedroom, a front room, a kitchen. That was it. There was no inside water or anything like that. You had to go at the tap in the yard, fill your bucket up at night time. You hold an enamel bucket, white enamel bucket, bring that in, put the lid on the top and stand it in the corner for your water. There was no central heating or anything like that. The fire used to have, it was a coal fire, naturally, with the oven on one side and the boiler on the other for the hot water.
The people around you, were they supportive and helpful? Did you help each other?
Oh, yeah, very close. Very close, yes. Those days there was the doors always open, and you could go and have a cup of tea with Mrs. So-and-so, or Mrs. X, Mrs. Y, it didn't matter who. Them sort. Very nice people.
You said your stepfather was in the Merchant Navy?
Stepfather. No, in the Royal Navy. Royal Navy.
As a regular?
No, just for the duration of the war.
What did he do when he came out of the forces?
He went and worked first at Weymouth Colliery on the screens, and then he got a job at J.L. Thompson's, used to build ships on the Weir, as a plater's helper.
Did he earn good wages? Were you able to manage all right?
No, not good wages, no.
What was it like growing up at that time?
Well, I always found it, we didn't get the bundles of sweets and the things that the kids get now these days. Well, I found it was a happy time. Never had no problems with anybody. Neighbours were good, and of course we never missed these sort of things because we never had them. And of course there was no television in those days. The big day in 76 Laburnum Road was when we got a new wireless. The old church thing, you know. And we were thrilled a bit for that, and that was, I think that was a big thing. Of course, years later, I don't know whether they got a television, but those days, the wireless was about... You had to make your own enjoyment anyway.
Which school did you go to?
I went to Poole School.
And that was at the age of five, was it?
But
at the age of five?
Yes, we went to Poole Infant School. On five, and then when we were seven, we went to the big school, as we called, along Sea Road, and then we stopped there at World 14.
What's your memories of school life?
Lovely. I loved school. Always have done. I loved school. And to this day, you know, I still remember the class, you know, the whole class. I can reel it off now, the class in the school. And the only reason I'm no, it was because in those days, unless we'd been a W, alphabetical order, I was practically last in the line, you know. And now she was saying, yes, sir. See? Because in those days, you got the yellow card if you missed it the first time, you know. You didn't get a cane run and like that, you just got the warning thing. And we used, well, now I call it the yellow card because there was no such thing those days. And the second time, you got the old flick. Nothing at all. But I loved school. And I loved forward school.
Does any teacher, particular teacher, stand out in your memory?
Yes, I've got them all down there. The headmaster was a man called Mr. Cutter. He was a gentleman. And my favourite was a chap called Daddy Bryant. His daddy, we called him Daddy because he was getting on, but he was a lovely teacher, and Mr. Grayson, who was a music teacher. He's outstanding.
What work did you start to go into when you left school?
Well, it was 1926, wasn't it? A general strike. And I left school, and there's a lad lived opposite lived in Atkinson Road, a chap called Sidney Walt, who was in my class at school. He came to me and he said, "Bob, there's a notice up in the butcher's in Atkinson Road saying they want a lad, you know, to go around and take the mince here and the mince there, you know, that sort of thing, little lad." So I went and saw the headmaster and asked what he thought, if I could go. He said, "You can go by all means, but you must see your mother first." I went and saw my mum, and she said, "We'll go up and see Mr. Cutter, the headmaster." And we went up there, and he gave us a lovely note to take to Mr. and Mrs. Wind, W-Y-N-D, lovely people they were, from South Shields. And I got started there as an errand boy.
What was your first wage?
I think it was 7 and 6, I think. But those days, you see, it was 8 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at night. Those days, you got to wrap up every day. When you went home, you got a bundle of sausage, had a bundle of this, and a bundle, you know. And it is the thing at home. Yeah. And then he told us one day, Mr. Wynne told us, that, he said, "I'm sorry, Bob, but I'm closing down." "Oh, dear me," I said. He said, "I've got you a job if you want to, at Allen's." It was a great big butcher shop. Their exported meat and things I got at Dundas Street in Sunderland. So I said, "Thank you very much, Mr. Wynne." And I went to Allen's, and the manager of the shop said, "I want you to go round to the back to the slaughterhouse and work round there." And I couldn't send it. Those days there was no human killing on the lay, you know, and put the sheep on the thing, just slit the throat. Well, that wasn't for me. I just walked out. I don't mind killing sheep, providing that that was cruelty. And I've always said it was cruelty. So I went to my mother. I said, "Mother, I've packed that job in." I said, "I'm not standing that." She said, "Well, that's fair enough. Don't worry, no." And then the Uncle Harry, who was a four-year-old with Mal Curry, big noises. He said, "I've got your job down the pit." "No, I've got your job at the colliery, brother." I said, "No, champion." So away I went on the Monday morning, and we worked on... Do you know anything about the colliery work, dear?
No.
Well, there's two great big conveyor belts comes down from where the two tip the coal in, and used to stand on... People used to stand on both sides but and pick stones out, you see, and let the coal go into the tubs underneath. Well, I was on that. What a bloody boring job that was. God, dear me. And then he said, he sent for us. He used to, you know, he had to read the notice board, just like the army, you know. And then Mr. Robert Wilson will report to the foreman's office at such and such a time. But it is convenient. And he's my uncle as well, you know. My mother's brother. And we never got on. And he did a lot for me, you know. I was a mug, really. So I went and he says, "You're going down the pit on Monday." My young Larry. And he picked the worst shift imaginable. It was a shift called tub loading shift. And you started at 10:30 at night till 6:00 in the morning. Terrible shift it was.
How many days a week was this?
It was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Hey. You got 5 nights, you see. But he told me, mother said, "Now, if he's on that shift, that one, he always gets an extra shift." Really, he was looking after us. Well, that's when I started. And then we got...
By extra shift, you mean an extra shift's pay? Although he didn't
work. I had to go and work for it. He used to say, you know, the deputy in down the pit would say, "Right, Bob, we want you to come in tomorrow morning, see?" And we're champions.
How much were you getting for this work?
You'll have to bear with me a second. With my extra shift I got in, I came home with 36 shillings a week.
And they were considered good wages?
Pardon?
Good wages at that time.
Well, that was good money. My mother thrilled with this. Bloody hard work, but...
How old were you at this stage?
How old was I? When I went down the pit? 16, 17.
What was your job down the pit?
What?
What was your job on that shift?
Well, it was... It got different kinds of jobs, but mostly it was on that sort of job, as a job called stone putting.
What did a stone putter do?
When they used to, they used to fire a shot, you know, when they sort of a thing called winning. It was a winning affair. So they were digging through stones and that, loads of stone, until they got to the coal face. Well, all that stone had to be brought out. And what a stone putter did was go in with his pony. And used to the man at the other end, the man used to fill the tubs, and you used to bring the tubs of stone out to a place called the Landing, where it was hooked up to a big train that went out by. and that was the job, really.
And this was just done by your hands, sheer physical force?
Oh, no, they used to shovel it in. the storeman used to shovel it into the tub, and then you used to hook the pony on, and away you went out to the, where the big landing, where there used to be a lad there working there, and you used to take the that off and hook onto an empty one and take that bit inside again. And of course, as they got further and further, you went further away from the London, you see. But it was a canny job. Sometimes the tub jumped the rails, and of course, with it being stone, it was heavy to lift back on. You had to sort of get down your back down there and get all the two wheels, you know, lift and twist.
What height were you working in?
Sometimes it was good. Sometimes you could have it like this, you see. But sometimes it was like that, and sometimes you would bend double most of the time. But mostly in Weymouth Curry, the side that I worked out called Millfield, it was what we called lovely height, walking height. Okay. You could walk. The normal person, 5'5" to 5'8", could walk sort of straight up without cutting his head on the crossbeams.
Were there damp working conditions?
Damp? Not in the Millfield where I worked, but in some of the parts of the country. When you went underneath the sea, that's where it got damp.
Were you paid the fixed sum, or was it based on how many trucks of stone you came out?
That was a fixed wage, standard wage. You got no bonus or anything like that. Where the coal putter, which is exactly the same thing, but he was bringing coal out, the more he got out, naturally, the more he got paid.
It would be dangerous work.
Well, I've always said, if you did the things you were told to do and did the things and follow the rules of down the pit, it wasn't dangerous. But if you were careless, yes, it could be very dangerous. I mean, you were always supposed to, the coal you were, that's a man who used the coal in those years with the pit, but then of course it developed into the machines. When he got about, it was you and the coal face there, and he got about a foot inside, his job was to put a plank up, support the roof, you see, for two. And that was, and if you followed them rules there, you were, I would say, 75% safe.
What other rules were there? They were pretty strict, of course, weren't they, for working down the mine?
Oh, yeah, that's why the deputy always came down two or three times a shift, you know. To make sure that the roof supports, that was the, see, that was a danger, the roof. See, the roof supports was in, and that there was no broken props, that's the straight ones that goes up and down. On the way, he used to mark them, and the fella used to follow around, you know, and put new props in and take the old one out.
What did you use for lighting?
This was there, an oil lamp there, look.
The old safety lamp?
The old safety lamp, yes. Mm-hmm.
And you collect those as you went into work and gave them back as you came out?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Handed that into the lamp cabin when you came out. When I first went down the pit, you know, there was no electric lights, you see, when I first went down the pit. But of course that came later, and then you got the helmet light, which is a big help, you know. Marvellous, I thought. And of course, if they went out, you were snookered, weren't you? Of course, you couldn't light them again. Not like that one, you see. That's a Ford Omen lamp, that one there. See, you could light that one. You used to pull the flint, you know, there's a thing on the side there, you used to pull that, and it used to really light, you see. But of course, that one you couldn't. So therefore, you were in the dark.
Did you have a problem with gas, anything like that? Were there examinations of four gas?
Well, I've never came across it. Never came across it.
Do you recall any accidents yourself at the pit?
Did I have any accidents? Well, I bumped my head a couple of times, but that was carelessness, you see? Follow the rules. I must tell you about the first job I had down the pit, but the most frightening thing I've ever had. Well, this job that I was talking about being frightened, after all, I was still only a young lad, was a job called trapping. And what that entailed was, you sat at the door with your lamp. That's all you did, just sat there and waiting for the putter who was bringing coal out. You had to open that door for him to go through and then shut it again. Now, the idea of this door was to assist in the ventilation of the pit. And when I said it was frightening, the putter might put his lamp out. And he took yours. So you could be sitting in there for 6 hours, in the dark, opening and shutting the door. And then when he came out to go home, he'd give you your lamp back because he went out with the pony and the pony would take him to the stables. They always did, you know, the pony. Didn't matter about the dark with them. As soon as they were their ship was finished, just keep hold of them and you'd have finished up at the stables. Didn't matter where you were. Two or three times, I had my lamp taken off us and there was no argument about it. And it was frightening. You sat there, the mice was running all over you. And of course you couldn't see them. And you were shushing, but that made no difference to them. And you were pleased when your shift came to an end and you got out. Now that was trapping. And the most boring job there was. Just sitting there on your bum, opening and shutting a door, which you had to do. It was a wooden door as well.
How many hours a day would that be?
Well, it all depends how far the face was in from the shaft. But roughly, you sat there for 6 hours. Roughly 6 hours. You had your bait sitting down, so you were still there.
Did you get an increase in your wage for going down the pit itself?
Did I get...
increase in your wage?
No. Now daft like that.
After trapping, what did you do?
After trapping, then I went on to a thing called a London lad. Now, I can't remember telling you when you come out with the stone putters thing, you came to the London, and there was a lad working there, see. Well, eventually that lad was me. Figure of speech. And then when they put it, used to come out of the tubs, as I've said there, you used to drop it off and you used to couple it up with two chains, hook them on, just like ordinary wagons on the railway, just hook them on and ready for the and then you used to ring out by to the main engine house and say, we have a load ready for you, we have a train ready for you. And then they used to, it was an endless rope system, you know, pulling out the rope, used to come round and round. And then they used to, when you were ready, you used to press a bell twice, and that would take the tub out by, and then he would come back, the rope would, when they got out by, it would hook onto empties, and they would come back into your landing again. And that's what he did all day. Now that was interesting because you were always on the go.
What kind of clothes did you wear for work?
Eddie. What other shoe did you? If it was a hot climate, naturally you wore, you know, hoggers, as we called them. But you just wore ordinary old ganzes, you know, pullovers or anything like that, you see.
And bathing and keeping yourself clean, how did you do that?
Couldn't keep yourself clean.
Did you bath at home?
Well, when we first started the pit, you used to come home, scruffy naturally, eh? And my mum used to have the great big tin bath in front of the fire, eh? Full of hot water, and you used to go in the bath, get washed in there, and your mother used to It used to dry his hair, but your mum used to rub it down with a great big, I don't know whether you've seen them, lad, a Han towel. Of course then, but your body used to glow when you finished with it. And if it was washing day, my mother used to leave the hot water in the tub in the washhouse and used to dive in that and get a bath, you see.
Who washed your back?
Your mother did. Or whoever was in, or our Les, or whoever washed your back. And then I'd been in the pit about 2 years and the pit had baths opened. And that was a godsend. Because you went in decent clothes, you know, went to your locker, took your pit things out, put the clean things in, went down the pit, came out from the end of your shift, dirty clothes into your locker, you know, have a shower, washed and everything, nice, get dressed and way home. That was a big improvement in the colliery's pit and bath.
As a teenage boy, what leisure activities did you have?
Well, I was football and cricket mad. Mostly football, and we played football probably every night of the week. And I mean, we used to walk from our house to Whitburn, which was 3-4 mile away. The game against the locals, which we didn't think anything about, you see. And then leisure. I just wrote it down there last night, explaining what we used to have a game of Delibo, or Mounty Kitty. Have you heard that word? You've heard Mounty Kitty. Now, I had that down just down the book as Delibo, so I had to explain to the reader or the listener what it was. So I had to do that last night. We spent many hours playing like that. But you made your own enjoyment. And funny enough, I don't think anybody was unhappy, you know. I mean, you hadn't a load of money to go down and get a bag of crisps and then get, I mean, there was no crisps loads, as we know that, but it's a figure of speech. But you couldn't put your hand in your pocket and go down and buy some because you hadn't it.
Were the local dances that you started to go to?
I've never bothered to dance. I can't dance, and I don't know why. I was fairly nimble on my feet, but I don't know. But I love to watch it, you know. I love to watch ballroom dancing. I really do.
Did you get involved with the church or the chapel?
Sunday school I used to go to, yes. I used to go to the Sunday school. Just had a look at it there. I liked it.
Which one did you go to?
Poole, United Methodist. It was at the corner of Poole Road and Atkinson Road. Yeah. But now they've got a great big Methodist church further down deep down Dean. Is it Dean? Deep Dean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this was every Sunday.
Every Sunday afternoon. Yeah, I used to walk up with my mum. She used to go at evening service, but I didn't just go there, but I used to go to some of the school. You know Les, and eventually old Vic.
Were there any other church or chapel activities? Was there a boys' brigade or scouts that you got involved in?
Well, I joined the boys' brigade, but it wasn't associated with our chapel. But I joined that later on, the boys' brigade. I don't know what was the matter. I stopped in it, I didn't pack it in or anything, like, but I didn't like it. I think I'd rather been in the scouts, you know what I mean.
What did you not like about it?
I think this has been racist, I think. I think it was the lowest of the three things. It was the Cubs, the scouts and the boys brigade, you see. But good friendship, good pals, you know. But I stopped in. With me white blanco on me white belt and everything. Really.
Did you have to buy your own uniform for
yes.
the? And was that easy for you? Were you able to do that?
You got supplied with your hat, and the white bandolier that goes round across your chest, and your white belt. But then you had to have a green jersey and blue shorts. And the if it warranted, if your parents wasn't working and you know things was hard enough, the boys would give you a lot of help towards it.
What kind of activities did you do in the Boys' Brigade?
Went to outings. Our main outing was Cox Green. Do you know where that is? It's in between sort of a little riverside place on the riverway, you know. But to us, it was in the Sharaban. You know, the old Sharaban with no top on. You don't see them now. Went in that. You know, that was a big day. Anyway, we went for the afternoon. And down by the riverside, where we were allowed to swim under supervision and things like that, and play Boys' Brigade rounders and things like that.